Hello, warriors. Sarah here, just wanting to drop in before the episode starts to let you know that this is a trigger warning around rape and sexual assault. We discuss some very hard things surrounding those topics, including some clips that come directly from the Netflix show Roll Red Roll. Thank you to Netflix for those audio clips. So we just want to be mindful of you out there who have experienced these things. We love you. We are here to support you. You can also visit rainn.org. That's rainn.org/resources. That will give you all kinds of access to the National Sexual Assault Hotline. It's confidential 24/7 support. You can chat online at online.rain.org. They have a crisis support service and lots of other resources on this site if you do need some professional assistance. I wish you strength and peace in yourself while you listen to this episode. We love you and we thank you for supporting us and being willing to have these difficult conversations with us. So we thank you, warriors.
Hey, warriors, this is Amy.
And this is Sarah, and you're listening to the Unqualified Therapists, Inc.
Warrior.
April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and that is why we decided to do this episode now. It was on our list from the very beginning of a topic we wanted to cover. It's a very serious topic. We're usually pretty jokey and silly on here, and we probably will still make jokes because, again, that's how we handle.
How we deal.
That's how we deal. But it's super serious, and I think that the one thing that I would like to make sure that we get across is sexual assault might not be what you think it is. Mm-hmm. And there are varying, not degrees, but situations.
Yes.
That all equate to sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
So we both watched a documentary, Roll Red Roll. And strangely enough, like, I know that part of Ohio.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's where I had my first job.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I worked for WTOV 9 in Steubenville.
No way.
Yeah, so I drove, it was an hour from my house. I lived in Wheeling, West Virginia. It was right out of high school. I was 17 years old.
Wow.
And as soon as I graduated high school, I started working for the TV station. That's what I wanted to do. That's what mm-hmm. I wanted to get my degree in. I did not end up doing that. I ended up going the psychology route, which I'm super glad I did. And yeah, so I used to drive to Steubenville all the time. So I was very, very familiar with the area. Not really. I only have, I think, one friend that I can think of that I know that grew up there.
Okay.
And she was one of my sorority sisters, went to Bethany College with me. So not a lot of, like, huge ties.
Yeah.
From that kind of standpoint, but huge ties for some realizations in life.
I do feel, though, that high school could be any high school in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
From my experience of going to one in Canton,
mm-hmm.
it was very similar.
Yeah.
Roll Red Roll is a story of a few football players who assaulted a young lady at a party, I would say, or after party at their house, and videotaped it.
Yep.
And talked about it on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all over the place. And texted about it and just thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Some of the first words in the documentary are, "Dude, she is so raped right now."
Yeah.
It's on video.
It's something about, like, she's deader than, or something about OJ's wife.
Yeah.
That was a joke they made. Yep. That was, like, hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Jody. That girl. What do they do with that girl?
Oh my god.
My bad. She is so great. Dead body.
How do you feel on a dead girl?
Are you serious?
I'm any foreplay with a dead girl. If it ain't wet now, it ain't ever gonna be wet. To be honest. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
I didn't want to walk around.
She's dead because there was a naked picture on her, a wang in the butt, and she wasn't moving. There's usual reaction
to that. What is wrong with you?
She's deader than OJ's wife.
Is she gonna feel it?
She's dead.
Oh my god.
Bro, tell me this girl. No. Why can't she?
That's like rape. It is rape.
Bro,
they raped her.
Can you do it? Bro,
they raped her.
This is the funniest guy.
He raped her harder than that cop raped Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction. They raped her quicker than Mike Tyson raped that one girl. Is it really rape because you don't know if she wanted to
get your dog?
And she was unconscious. Mm-hmm. And the things they did to her were just unreal. I mean, not really, because it fucking happened.
Because it happened, yeah.
But
too real.
Too real. I would say that while I was disgusted, and I still am, at their actions, I was even more disgusted and mortified at the town's reactions. People saying things like, well, am I day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just... You get suspended for a day or something
right.
for doing that sort
Shouldn't
of thing.
Shouldn't have to go to jail.
Yeah.
They were just partying.
Mm-hmm. And did you notice the coach?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And what he said to the police officer?
I can't remember.
He said, well, in my day, he's like, I don't even understand. He's like, how are you explaining? How are you saying that's sex? Like, by doing, like, putting anything in certain parts. It had to be explained to him by the police officer that, like, that is still rape.
Yeah.
He's like, this word is just too big to be using with these boys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was a doozy, man. I don't know if I had known about it before. I mean, which is, like, crazy to me. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And somehow I missed it in the news. But it was... It's really worth watching, and especially with someone who maybe doesn't get it, who maybe like doesn't really understand what could possibly come from their actions.
Right. The thing that, so I'm just pulled up so that I could have some reminders of it because I watched it probably about a year ago. I couldn't watch it again. So I asked Amy to watch it so that we could talk about it. But some of the details and stuff I wanted to have in front of me, and Roger Ebert did write a review, but it's more of a summary because there's really hard to review something like this.
Sure. Yeah.
So he did say that, you know, social media can be a son of a bitch, you know,
mm-hmm.
but that without social media, what happened to this young girl would probably have never been uncovered.
Nope.
It would have been uncovered because the whole school knew about it,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about it with everybody and spreading it around, mm-hmm. and calling this girl horrible names and victim blaming.
Oh, yeah.
But because it was posted on social media, there was a reporter who started investigating it, and she did a whole timeline of all of the tweets and posts that were put up, and they were taken down at some point,
mm-hmm.
but she had already documented everything.
Yes, she had screenshot or snapped
yep.
it. I don't even know what
yep,
she did.
Yep, she screenshot everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I thought was really... It gave me goosebumps, and I thought it was really amazing was the group Anonymous.
Yes.
I'm not really familiar with them in any other circumstance,
me
so
neither.
They could be, like, completely radical and out there. And like,
I know.
Yeah, so I'm not, like,
So
supporting.
We're not really saying that we absolutely support them because we don't
right.
know anything about them.
But they came to the rescue in this case.
Right.
And called out the city of Steubenville
to do something
about this.
And the most powerful part, because it reminded me of Moxie, mm-hmm. when it was just mm-hmm. woman after woman after woman. I mean, some of them were 60 years old, 70 years old. You know, I mean, I'm getting chills just talking about it because it was the first time they could all stand up and say, this happened to me too.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jane Doe, for, you know, not mm-hmm. backing down.
Yeah.
Because she didn't back down. She went through with this court case. And these people, I mean, oh my God, there were so many women.
So many. The whole front of the court steps were covered in women, and they stood up one after another to share their stories.
Yeah.
In support of her.
My name's Angela.
My name is Sarah. I grew up here. I was born and raised here.
And I was born and raised right here in Steubenville.
My name's Alicia. I'm a citizen of Steubenville
here.
And
at the age of 14, I was raped by a star football player that I had a crush on.
I was raped in 2000.
I thought he was so nice.
I was drugged, carried limp, and nothing became of it.
And those friends
and
didn't believe me.
I said no, repeatedly, repeatedly. I was pinned down, and there's no way I could have moved.
I'm 58 years old, and I was sexually assaulted 50 years ago as a child.
It's been over 30 years for me.
And I was 5 years old.
I was raped when I was 11.
When I was 15, I was raped.
When I was in my mid-20s.
And I was raped by two high school senior boys who were my babysitters.
I was drugged by a 26-year-old man.
A lot of people around me didn't believe me. They thought I was stupid because I went to a party.
I fought for my life because I didn't want it to happen again.
There's a part in Moxie where she stands up and she says, I was raped by my boyfriend mm-hmm. in my bed.
Yeah.
And how many of those these women were talking about, it's much more that than
somebody grabbed me in a dark alley. Yeah. Yeah, that's rarely the case.
Yeah. And these boys, I felt like the one never had any remorse. Trent.
No. Yeah.
Trent.
Yeah, he did not show any remorse. He seemed so cocky and arrogant.
So arrogant. I think they got no time. It was like, I don't even know. Oh, I don't even know what their punishment was, but it was, I just remember thinking, what? That's it?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other child, Mitch, maybe? Malik. I don't remember. Mike.
Malik.
Malik. Sorry. Yes. I knew it was an M. Malik. Broke down his sentencing and cried like a baby.
Yep.
Because I think he saw mm-hmm. what he had actually done. And this goes back to what we were talking about with raising boys.
Right.
You know, they're raised, you can't raise them in a culture that doesn't show the impact of their actions.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to go along with things because it's so cool. Like, that's basically what it was. It was this big peer pressure thing back and forth through the tweets and the texting. And I think that he really regrets it.
He does. From what I could see, it mm-hmm. seemed that he really regretted it.
Yeah.
But that you're right. It does show that it starts with parenting and telling them, like, this isn't okay. And I know that that sounds so incredibly common sense to tell your children that raping someone's not okay.
Well,
but when it comes to circumstance of a girl that they knew, she was hardly conscious. I don't think conscious at all.
And no, she was out cold.
And so I think that, you know, the fact of she didn't say no, quote.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I didn't rape her. She didn't, you know, didn't say no.
Yeah. Come on.
But where it's clearly a situation of that.
There,
the police interview footage with the boys' coach.
That's what I was talking about. That to me, that made my skin boil. And I want to say, as we're talking about parents, this coach probably had a bigger influence on these boys than the parents did.
Yeah.
And shame on him mm-hmm. for just like teaching them, you know, he kept calling it like getting laid or.
Yeah. Yeah. He kept saying getting laid.
Uh-huh.
Just because these boys got laid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boys will be boys. I think he actually said that.
Yeah. That saying has got to go in the trash.
Yeah, it really does. My sister sent me a TikTok, and it is perfect for this. And it basically, I believe he's a comedian, and he's saying he's trying to teach his son about no means no.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one?
Mm-mm.
And then it goes on. I won't do it any justice, I know, but we'll post it to say, you know, but yeah, consent is what you need, but I would kind of, you know, hope for a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, you know, consent is good, but right. It'd be much better if she was like, I into can't wait it? To rip your clothes off, yeah. Or like kissing you, or like, I can't, I'm so, you know, whatever, but like into it clearly.
Yeah.
He's like, consent's like the lowest of the low. Lowest
of the acceptable. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I think we kind of want to teach them a little bit higher than consent. And I don't know, I clearly didn't make it as funny as he did, but it was, it was really great because it was so spot on.
Yeah.
Because we say consent. Okay. I mean, it'd be really nice though if it was also like about, you know, both of them being into it.
Mm-hmm. Which you and I have talked about before.
Yes.
About being into it and not being into it, but still yes. doing it anyways.
Yes. Not good.
No.
No.
Yeah. It's a weird gray area for myself.
It is.
For me, where I'm like, I'm okay with this. I don't really want to.
Right.
But I'm okay with this.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just like, okay. I mean, I know what the Catholic Church would tell you.
Just lift up your nightie.
Unlock the chastity bell.
And let him do his thing.
Ugh, yeah.
That's a life I don't want to live.
It's not. And, you know, there's like... I'm so hyper aware of it, you know, in like 90s TV.
Oh, yes.
Because when you watch sitcoms from the 90s, yes. and they say things that are jokey,
yeah.
but it's a real thing. And to come back to my, you know, 175-year-old self who watches Frasier at night. like Niles' mother-in-law says, you know, I let you work off your animal lusts for 40 years. And like that line, it's, you know, it's funny, but it's not. Because when you think about it, it's like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. And there's a woman on Instagram. I have no idea how I started following her, but she does all sorts of things. But one of the things she does is she gives a lot of talks about how, you know, how we talk so much about sexual assault and saying mm-hmm. no, but how so little is talked about pleasure.
Yeah.
Specifically you're right. for women.
Yeah.
So basically you have two choices. Like you either just suck it up and do it or you say no mm-hmm. and they need to like be cool with that.
Right.
But like the conversation, changing that conversation to be something even more different,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit more progressive and a little bit more women centric.
Yeah.
Honestly, because sex has been men-centric since the fucking beginning of time.
Yeah. Centuries.
Yeah. So in life and in, you know, media and TV and everything. So when you watched it, how long ago? About a year ago. So you watched it a year ago. And when you were watching it, you had a realization.
I did.
So can you tell us a little bit about that?
I can. So I'm going to ask you guys to give me some grace because I have never talked to anybody about this besides my closest cohorts, Amy and Randy and my therapist.
And I love being in that circle.
This is very hard for me to talk about. So I'm 39. I was 38 years old when I watched this documentary. And at 38 years old, watching a documentary about a high school girl being unconscious and being raped made me realize that something that had happened to me at 15 years old was not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And that I had never spoken a word of it to my parents, to my friends, to anyone, because I felt as though it were my fault. So what had happened... was that there was a Halloween party one evening and everybody was getting dressed in costumes. And I had never drank before. I was very straight edge in high school.
My goodness.
Yes, I didn't drink until I was in college, except for this one instance. And I decided that my sort of boyfriend, I guess, like when you're in high school and you're 15 years old, it's not, sometimes it's either you have this like serious boyfriend or you're like talking to somebody.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So we were like talking to each other, whatever that means. When you're 15, you don't do a lot of talking. It's more of like, what's up? What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing?
Exactly. It's very like lowest common denominator conversation.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this party, I was like, all right, well, I'll try drinking before this party because I have somewhere to go and there'll be a lot of people there. So if anything goes wrong, I can do this. Plus, my parents had gone out of town.
Oh.
So I had a, in her early 20s, babysitter staying with me, but she was not coming until, because it was a Friday night, was this party. So she wasn't coming until I was to come home from that party. And then she would be there when I got back. So it was just me at the house. Mm-hmm. So this boy comes over and we had a very old house that owners before us had a liquor cabinet in there, but my parents never touched it. My parents weren't drinkers at all.
So it was the liquor from the people who lived there before.
Correct.
Oh my.
So it had been there probably since the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd never drank before. I had no clue what I was getting myself into. So he pulls out a bottle of tequila and I say, sure.
Okay.
Like, I'm starting to feel like I'm going to puke right now because tequila, like...
Ever since then.
Well, yeah. And just tequila in general. I don't know how anybody drinks
it. I like it
a
lot.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. It tastes, well, like vile to me.
It does.
But I'm sure that's why. It's probably psychological. Yeah. But the whole bottle wasn't full. It was a pretty large bottle, so it was probably like a third of the way full.
Okay.
But at this time, I'm 15, I probably weighed 95 pounds. Like, I was very, 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 very tiny.
Yeah.
And my friend, gentleman friend, was a big dude, like real tall, muscular.
How old was he?
A year younger than me, is 14.
Okay.
So we start drinking this. I didn't know you were supposed to do shots of tequila. We're like drinking it from glasses.
With no mixer.
We didn't know what we were doing. No mixer whatsoever.
The internet is not around.
No,
people.
No.
You can't even look it up.
No, can't look it up. Yeah, we had dial up and I still didn't even know how to use that. And I don't think we had a computer in the house at that time. It was just in my dad's office.
It makes complete sense.
Yeah. And the only thing I was using the computer for was to download songs from LimeWire and mess up my parents' computer. So, no reference, no way to look this up. So we're just drinking tequila like it's water. And things go downhill pretty quickly. I lose consciousness pretty quickly. And the only things that I remember are coming to in and out of consciousness and being assaulted during that time. And I remember thinking, I don't want this to happen. Mm. I don't want this to happen. How can I make this stop? How can I make this stop? But I didn't know how to make it stop. And I just kept passing out.
Oh my gosh.
So I was completely just done, blacking out, going in and out. This was in my basement of my parents' home. I woke up on the bathroom floor of my bathroom, which is two stories above where I was. I had been wearing like jeans and a t-shirt prior. I woke up in my Halloween costume.
What?
Which is like a genie costume. So it was like this two-piece outfit. So I was completely dressed in this genie costume and I was on the floor of my bathroom. And my friends come in the house and I don't think I came, like there, a lot of stuff is fuzzy.
Sure.
I don't think I came downstairs. I don't think I could have. I have a memory of them picking me up off the floor and then taking me down the steps and out the front door.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was basically like a one fell swoop because our bathroom's at the top of the steps. You go straight down the steps and out the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk out the front door and right into my friend's mom's van. She's driving to drive us all to this party. So they shove me all the way in the back. Mm-hmm. I can remember singing real loud because I was drunk. I mean, I was like beyond, I've never been that drunk in my life since then. And I mean, I'm almost 40 years old. Like,
yeah,
I've had a lot to drink since then.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been that intoxicated. And I have to be honest with you, I think that there must have been an angel with me or something, because there's no way I should have been alive.
Right. I was thinking, how did you survive that?
I don't know. I honestly don't.
Did you throw up? Mm-mm. Exactly. Like, how did you possibly, like...
If I did, it was cleaned up. I don't have any memory
when you woke up in the bathroom, where was your boy?
He wasn't there. I was alone.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I was on my stomach, and my face turned to the side. Mm. Which now I know
why,
you know, to keep me from choking on my vomit. But if I did, which there wasn't anything there. But at the time I didn't know.
Yeah.
At the time I didn't even know. So we go to this party and I'm singing loud in the car and they're slamming my head off of the window and the car door telling me to shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. You're going to get us in trouble. Shut up. And so we get out, and by this time, I'm pretty sure the mom was pretty aware that I was drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to have been smelling up the entire car.
Sure.
I was being loud. I was being obnoxious, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
We walk into the party. My friend, whose party it was, sees that I'm drunk, hits me across the face. I fall down.
My God.
And somebody takes me home. I think it was that same mom. That is all I remember from that evening. But what I do remember thinking the next day and for 20 plus years after was shame.
Yeah.
How could I have done something so stupid?
Right.
I felt like a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I had embarrassed my parents.
Yeah.
Embarrassed myself. Embarrassed my friend whose party it was.
Right. And like, it was all your fault.
It was all my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of it. My parents obviously knew that I had been drinking, because all of the parents at this party knew.
Oh no.
And when I came home, they brought me to this babysitter and she had to call my parents. And they debated on taking me to the hospital, but didn't. I don't know why. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was the 90s. I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
What was going on there? Probably should have,
mm-hmm,
in hindsight. I don't remember what I felt like the next day. Like, I don't even remember if I was hungover or what, because nothing physical is sticking with me whatsoever. Everything psychological has stuck with me, in that all that was just shame, 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 shame. And I never said a word about it to anyone, about, you know, what he had done, because I thought, well, I got too drunk.
Uh-huh.
I must have said it was okay.
Well, you're like, I put myself in the situation.
I put myself in the situation. I was with him. He probably asked me. I probably said, okay, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Right.
So I'm just ashamed. So I literally blocked it from my memory for, mm-hmm, a while.
Okay.
And then about 5 years later, when I was in college, I was dating, actually it was less than that. It was like 3.5 years later, because it was my freshman, like beginning of my freshman year. I started dating this man, and like fell madly in love with him. He drove me to Cleveland to meet his family,
mm-hmm,
and his mom was a very like highly sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sat down with me and she was talking to me and she started getting like super skepticismo with me, because they were extremely religious.
Mm.
And we had like told them that we were virgins and like, you know, we were going to wait till we got married. And
okay,
she was like, she pulled him aside and he came to me and said, my mom says you're not a virgin and she can like feel that, like you're lying. What? And I honestly didn't know what he was talking, like it didn't hit me.
Right.
Like that did not come into my head,
right,
because in my head.
You were.
That, yeah, I was. That didn't that happen.
Didn't happen, yeah.
I was just trying to like completely just, mm-hmm, erase it from my life. And so I just couldn't understand. And then it did hit me. I was like, I think that's what she's talking about. And then I was like, well, do I just keep my mouth shut? Like, what do I do? So I just ended up just being like, I don't know, you know, what she's taught, like what specifically she's talking about. But what I can tell you is that I am. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of like the first thing that made me to like start think about it,
right.
thinking about it again. And then I just, every once in a while, you people with depression and anxiety know that sometimes you have anxiety, you lay in bed and you think about things that you said like 4 years ago and you're like, why did I say that?
Yeah. That's why that person doesn't like me.
Yeah. Like, remember that time you said something super awkward at a party? Remember that? Let's think about that right now for 2 hours.
Can't do anything about it, but we can think about it.
We can think about it. Let's stay up all night and think about it.
Make our stomach sick.
Yeah. So that would be like the thing that would pop into my head and that would keep me up. And I would think about it. I would replay it and I would be like, I can't believe you did that. That was just the story I just kept saying in my mind. Like, you should be so ashamed. That's like, you know better.
I wonder what, though, in life, that was the immediate. For you and for lots of women, shame is the immediate emotion. You know, I wonder if it's, what is that? Is it where we ingrained? Is that, like, ingrained in us?
I think so, and I
because
think...
Because, I mean, I don't know.
I think that, like, I have the most painful lump in my throat from trying not to cry. So I feel like my voice is cracking a lot, so I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry.
No, she's not sorry.
I'm not at all.
This is really emotional and really hard.
Yeah. I don't know why shame is the first thing, but it's like a vicious cycle because I almost feel shame for feeling shame.
Sure.
And I think it's, you know, it is ingrained in us, and I think that then in the 90s, date rape wasn't a thing.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
That didn't exist. That wasn't
real. Definitely didn't tell anyone.
No.
Because then you would be in so much trouble yourself.
Let me re-say that. Date rape was a thing. Always. Has been a thing. Always.
That terminology. In fact, they said the rape culture came out of this Steubenville case. The idea of this like rape culture and that wording.
Yeah. So I think the shame just came from being brought up to, you don't put yourself in those situations. Mm-hmm. And if you do and something happens, that was your fault.
Yeah.
So I had put myself in that situation and it was my fault.
I would say, though, maybe that's just how we were raised.
It could be.
Because I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. So when I was watching Roll Red Roll, I had this realization and I fucking spiraled bad. And then it was like, I couldn't get enough of watching documentaries about date rape because it was helping me to understand more and to hear these stories that sounded just like mine.
Yeah. And then you didn't feel so alone.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I can release some of this shame and I can forgive myself. Mm-hmm. Not that I needed to forgive myself for anything except for holding on to something like this for so long.
Sure.
It helped me work through to get to a point where I felt like I could talk about it. It has taken me, I think it's been about a year and a half. It's taken me a year and a half of telling and talking about it with just these three people.
Yeah.
To be able to feel like I could actually tell my story.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that women our age and older understand these things. Go watch Roll Red Roll. Go watch The Hunting Ground. The Hunting Ground will wreck you. It's about college campuses and how men use it as a hunting ground for rape, and it's terrifying. And you'll not want to send your kids to college.
I already don't. I fear for the men. My daughter will probably cut their ball sack off.
Yeah, she will. Yeah, she will.
Or stab it or something.
She'll be like, I dare you come 1 centimeter closer. And that's the good thing, though, is that we can raise our kids
yes
to know what is right and wrong, and what is their fault and what is not, and what to do if something horrendous like that happens.
And I don't know what to think of this, but my daughter already knows, because she said to me, I know, Mom, don't drink at a party, or if I do, get it myself, cover my drink, always be with at least 3 people, leave with them, never let anybody stay. I'm like, how do you know these things?
Let me guess.
TikTok. So I guess thank you for TikTok, I mean, she's ready to go.
If these are the things she's learning.
And she's learning that if those 3 people don't do that for you, they're not your friends.
Right.
Like, that's how you determine your friends. Like, are those, you know, people who are going to... But again, do men ever think that when they go to a party?
No.
No. Never.
They don't have to worry about that.
So she's playing on the... Is it offensive? Or no, she's playing defensive.
No, defense, yeah.
Because she... there's
go sports.
Because women can't be on the offensive. It's impossible. So she is already at 11 on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm going to handle this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I say props to you, but you shouldn't have to fucking handle anything.
Right.
Like, men should just fucking know.
Right. And respect.
Teenagers, I don't give a shit how old you are.
Yeah.
You should just know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that the girls in your life don't have to play this, like, defensive thing they've been prepping their whole life for.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame.
It's such a shame. It is. It's, I think that men are finally starting to wake up to it a little bit. The ones who pay attention and who listen and who want to learn things and want to hear about things. Not those that are stuck in the boys will be boys type of mindset, which is a very toxic and dangerous.
And toxic for the boys too.
It is. It's toxic for them too. It could ruin their lives. Look at these 2 boys.
I know.
They, I mean, now Trent Mays, is that his name? Trent Hayes. Trent Mays, I think.
Piece of shit. I don't know what his
name is. He couldn't give 2 shits. So, you know, whatever. But Malik was so brokenhearted about it. And it's a shame because he could have probably been somebody.
Yeah.
He was an excellent football player. He had so much in front of him. Mm-hmm. And this is going to follow him for the rest of his life.
Yeah. So he didn't have to serve time, but... come on, everybody knows who you are.
Right.
This is it. And that's terrible. I mean, was it really that fun? And it was more to me as I was watching it, them playing off each other, like one-upping each other.
It was.
And trying to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't even like, I have an urge and I have to take care of it.
Nope.
It had nothing to do with that.
No, it didn't.
It was all, how far can we take this and who's going to do more?
Yeah. And there's no way we're going to get in trouble because we are the town stars.
The town stars, and all this town has is football.
Football. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Ooh.
We'll just tell the coach we got laid.
Yep. And he'll back us up.
Yep.
Which he did.
Yeah, which he did.
If it weren't for social media, if it weren't for this
blogger
and the blogger and it weren't for Anonymous, then she just would have been another... poor victim who developed a reputation in her town for being promiscuous, even though she had no choice in the matter whatsoever.
Right.
I don't.
Did you see? We didn't talk about this, but the teenage girls said exactly.
Yes.
That shocked me.
The 2 girls sitting in the classroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
They said, well, it's her fault. You know, you shouldn't be in situations like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard about her.
Yep.
And she was drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you've learned that somewhere too.
Yeah. Because that's how backwards thinking. And I don't want to specifically call out and say Steubenville is, you know, just a backwards thinking town. This is fucking everywhere.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Everywhere.
And any place you don't think it is, it's just under a rock somewhere.
It
Somebody's
is.
Hidden
it's
it.
Being
They've
hidden.
Paid to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, for whatever it is, it's just hidden. But
watch.
It happens all over the place.
Yeah. So on the hunting ground, they are on college campuses. And there's a couple of scenes that you'll just be... You think that we can not be shocked because we're like, oh, well, I'm not surprised by that. Or, but you watch these things and it's still every single time you hear something, you're like, what the fuck? Like, what is wrong with people? So one of them is there's a college girl saying SAE will be like people know of different fraternities that it's mm-hmm. you call them SAEs and you don't go because that stands for sexual assault expected.
Wow.
So they just know you don't go to this house because you will get assaulted.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's a CERN. There's a scene at Yale, and there it's showing them. It's being videoed
at
these
Yale?
Men at Yale. So when you say like, oh, we're saying Steubenville, whatever, and we're saying, oh Yale. No, it's everywhere. This is at Yale University.
Jeez.
An Ivy League university in the United States of America that is extremely highly regarded. A fraternity there chanting, no means yes, yes means anal.
What?
Over and over.
The fuck.
Exactly.
No means yes, yes means anal. No means yes, yes means anal.
Fucking Yale.
What kills me is that when you think about colleges and universities, there's a lot of female representation.
Yes.
There's a lot of female professors. There's a lot of female college presidents. And one of the presidents that was defiant against the victim in the hunting ground was a female college president.
Politics.
It's disgusting.
Totally disgusting.
Because funding comes from the families and from the alumni.
And white men.
And white men. And it's got to stop. It has to change. And I know that my story is my story and it is unique to me, but it's not unique to the rest of the world, unfortunately. But I have to tell it. And so do you and you and you and you and you and you and you. Because we have to speak up. Because the more we let people know that this shit is happening constantly, the more that it will be believed.
Yeah, and the more you speak up, the more men will see that. Because a lot of men like to say, oh, that didn't happen in my friend group. Bullshit.
Bullshit. Nobody said anything. That's all.
That's all. You just didn't hear about it. I promise you it happened everywhere to all of... There was no one immune to it.
1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men. So look at the difference and discrepancy there. 1 in 5 women in the United States have been raped at some time in their lives. That includes forced penetration. That doesn't mean penis penetration. Attempted forced penetration. Or alcohol or drug facilitated completed penetration. So more than half of the female victims of rape reported being raped by an intimate partner.
Wow.
40% by an acquaintance. And for male victims, more than half reported being raped by an acquaintance and 15% by a stranger.
And that doesn't include how many times you're touched inappropriately and groped. And I mean,
verbally assaulted.
Yeah. Or things that aren't penetration. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people were like, oh my God, when the whole thing with that woman came out with Donald Trump on the airplane.
Yep.
I was not surprised. I was like, that has not happened to you before.
Right.
Like, for some reason, there is this idea in men. I don't know. I like to think it's not ingrained. It's just, you know, environment. That our bodies are for their use whenever the fuck they want.
Right. Or property.
Like, imagine how many parties you've been at that you have been like.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, and again, I have blocked out so much, but I know as you're talking, I can come up with scenarios and I remember things more and more, but none of that is okay.
No.
At all. And so we're talking about all of it, all of the things that are unwanted sexually is sexual assault. And it's fucking serious. And, you know, I don't know. I just think that we need to, I don't know. Do we start with, we probably start with telling our stories just like you so bravely did. And then raising our boys better.
Yeah. It's a shame that you know, we do need to raise our boys better, but it's a shame that we have to raise our girls to be
yep.
hyper aware and to be able to fight off physically and verbally and yep. emotionally when these things come at them. And I don't say if, but when. I can remember when I first met Randy, we went to like a house party of like one of his friends, and this guy that was there, he came over to me and he was being all creepy, you know, and he's
yeah.
like, hey, what's your name? And I gave him Phoebe's fake name from Friends, and I was like, Regina Phalange. And he's like, oh, nice to meet you, Regina. And then he's like, hey, what's the deal with Regina? And just going around being gross. And I'm like, who is this douchebag? And Randy was like, oh, they call him the Violator.
Oh,
like wow. That was his name. They called him Violator.
Okay.
I know.
And I can tell you that even dating in my 40s.
Mm-hmm. No bueno.
No fucking different. Except they're way more forward with it.
Really?
It's disgusting. Like, disgusting.
I think now, when you say forward, was it online contact or with like in person?
Both.
Because I feel like the internet has given this freedom
sure.
for them to just be mm-hmm. like, I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah. Or send you whatever the fuck I want.
Because
clearly
nobody
you
wants
see that.
To see that.
I do not want to see that ugly Mm-mm. ass thing.
I'm mm-hmm. going to say with a lot of certainty that no woman wants a dick pic.
Nope.
Stop sending them.
Don't do it.
It's gross.
Really, really gross.
I know you want to see our parts. We don't want to see yours.
Especially like unsolicited.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, if you're going to ask for it, whatever. But don't just willy-nilly.
I mean, it's send just, it's very, very. I was just fucking, I was like shocked. I was like, what is happening?
Did you get dick pics?
Oh, yes.
Ew.
I wish I would have like screenshot them and saved them and then like blew them up later.
Oh my
like,
God, we could post them.
I know. But I deleted those so quickly because I was like, whoa. You know, and then let's all remember that Amy was that like real like, you know, Catholic.
Yeah.
I was like, why am I seeing these things? You know, so.
Please stop showing
Please
me your
stop.
Penis.
Please stop. Yeah, or I mean, it was just vile. It was a very vile like exchange sometimes, and you could delete and block, and that was fine. But I don't even know what to say about it. I just didn't even. It didn't get any better. Men in their 40s are just like basically like, I'm gonna be the same person I was in my fucking 20s, but I'm gonna tell you first.
Uh huh.
I'm gonna get in your pants tonight. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm just going to say it.
I'm just going to say it. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that's cute. You think that.
I don't think we're going out anymore.
Yeah. But our conversation stops here.
Boop.
Nice.
Yeah. It was rough. I those apps were real rough.
Ugh.
So I don't know. I guess I'd like to say that men have changed, but they just want to put their parts on us.
Ugh.
And being married, having a boyfriend, none of that matters to them.
No.
They'll say, and so.
Right.
Happily.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Or happily. And I'm like, what the fuck ever, man? Like, you should just go away.
Yeah. Like, I clearly don't want, you know, instead of saying like you have a boyfriend, you should just be like, I'm not interested at all.
But then I feel like that would be a challenge to them even more.
Yeah, that's
it. Like, yeah. I've never known a man to be like, oh, okay, she's not interested. Yeah. I'm going to walk away. They're like, I've got this. I will get
challenge
dick in her.
Accepted. Ugh. Well, okay. Did you ever watch How I Met Your Mother?
Mm-mm. Which I know is like everybody's favorite. I just never did.
It shouldn't be. Neil Patrick Harris's character in that mm-hmm. show, his sole purpose on the show is to have sex with women and to trick them into having sex
with
him. His character is just that's where challenge accepted, like why I was saying that like that. That's where that came from.
I mean,
and they would be like, well, we didn't challenge you. And he's like, I've challenge accepted. And he would just go and try to have sex with whomever.
There's a lot of men like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a notch in their belt. It's not an old-timey saying.
So disgusting. Notch on the bedpost.
Like, that's just foul.
It is. It's foul. You're right. That's the perfect word to describe it.
It disgusts me. Like, to think about, ugh. Then who wants to be with that person at the end of the day?
Yeah. Well, they don't care about that.
No, they don't, but...
Supposedly.
Yeah.
I wonder.
You don't want to be with that person?
I wonder if that person wants to be with someone.
And they're scared of rejection, maybe?
Maybe.
Getting hurt?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I also am surprised by Neil Patrick Harris that he would have played that character.
I know.
Like that, I don't know. Just because he's gay, I feel like he's a better human, but that right. doesn't mean shit.
No.
Clearly, man is a man.
Yeah. Do you remember doing a photo shoot and there was a very good looking man there? And not that that matters whatsoever, but just flat out asked you, I mean, he's married and has a child, and we know that, and flat out asked you to have sex with him right there.
Not the first time that he has done that.
Mm-hmm.
He has done that in the presence of when my husband was alive mm-hmm. and around.
Yep.
He has met my husband mm-hmm. and he just still thought that I would just basically.
Because like, we said, you're very handsome. Like we told him he was good looking.
Yep. In the very beginning we did. And then ever since then, he just basically was on my shit. And
he took it as permission.
Every time he would say it, I'd say, oh my God, you have a baby and a woman at home. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I think at the photo shoot, I might have been single. So I think he like came at me hard.
Yeah. And you still were like, no.
And I was like, no. I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm not getting in the middle of that. But he didn't give up.
No. Sure didn't.
No means yes.
Yes means anal.
Oh my God.
According to Yale.
Or no means let's try harder.
Right.
What else can I do to get this happening? Mm-hmm. Lots of compliments that he did that. I mean, he was hot.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
He is hot.
Smoking hot.
It's just that.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I'm not going to go wreck some girl's life.
No.
Plus, I would just think he's straight diseased.
Well, I mean, I think he kind of was like, you were like, I just feel like you might be dirty.
I did say that. Yes. Oh my God. I'm so glad you remembered that.
Oh,
I said, I had some drinks.
And you even did the hand motion, like not near him, but you like gestured toward his crotch area. And you were like, I just feel like in a circular motion, you just might be dirty.
Oh my God, Sarah. It just came back to me.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of that girl.
I'm so proud of you too.
That's amazing.
That was awesome.
So for what you think, sir, is a notch on your belt is disgusting to me. Yeah. But yeah, I did. I told him to his face. I said, I think you might be dirty. Right there.
Oh, it was so awesome. It was so beautiful to watch. I was like, this is great. I'm just going to get my popcorn.
Guess what? He came back for more.
Yeah, he did.
He's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this.
Ugh.
Wow.
But that's the thing. It's just the persistence sometimes. And I don't know if we should take this to another episode, but the persistence sometimes wears you down. It's not from somebody like that, but from even a partner or, I can remember in college, and this is like, I might cut this out. I can remember in college having a friend who we were just like flirty with each other.
Sure.
And he just kept pushing and pushing and persisting and persisting. And I was like, I just don't see you like that. And, you know, of course we were drinking one night because it was college,
mm-hmm.
because college. And, you know, he was being like real pushy and I was just like, kind of like, all right, fine. Like just, all right, whatever.
Yeah. Just
and then I remember just feeling I felt gross.
Yeah.
And then we didn't talk after that because I was like, I can't even look at you.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So I lost a friend and I lost dignity.
Yeah.
And it just, ugh. But it's things that women will do. I mean, that was 19-year-old me, whatever.
Sure.
You know, but I think I also had a lot of shame behind myself and things that I was struggling with because of
what you deserve and don't deserve.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you accept that as your reality. So you just just either take things or like just as they are.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I just wish now I could go back and be like, honey, you do not have to do anything you don't want to do.
I know. Honestly, if I could go back, I wish I would have just been more bold.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't think that being someone who was sexually inhibited helped.
Right.
I
here.
Think that if I had been sexually empowered.
Yes. Yes.
I would have had, maybe I would have chosen to have multiple partners.
Right.
That's my prerogative, right? Mm-hmm. If two consenting people really like each other, I don't even care if they like each other. Whatever. Mm-hmm. They want to.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. I wish I had that. I wish I had been more, instead of that, like, and maybe I need to think about this. This is interesting. Is that defensive makes you hate sex.
It does.
And you're on the defensive and then you get worn down, worn down, worn down. And it happens and you feel like shit.
Mm-hmm. So why would you want to do it again?
Exactly. So if you're on the offensive and you have this sexually progressive idea of who you are as mm-hmm. a woman and what, you know, you empower, then perhaps we end up in a different spot.
Yeah.
You know, because you're worthy of more
mm-hmm.
and you're worthy of it being on your terms as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder about that. If more than defensive, we need to figure out how to make it on the offensive.
Yeah. Right. To be like proactive about it and maybe giving our girls permission.
Yeah.
To say, I don't want you to, I don't want you to have sex before you're ready. Like, that's just not something that I want
right.
ever to happen in life for you. I also though want you to feel empowered to know that once you reach a consenting age.
Yeah.
Because I believe in the consenting age.
Sure.
I don't think high school, I mean, maybe it's because of what happened to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think girls in high school are in a position
to know
and to make that decision for themselves. I just don't. I mean, maybe I'm an old lady. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think your brain is all jacked up, so you're not really making good choices.
Right, exactly. You're being run by hormones.
Sure.
You're being run. You don't have impulse control. So just like, I don't think any of those decisions are smart.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the clothes you wore in high school.
Yeah.
Like those, I mean, yeah, just everything was a poor choice.
The things you got upset about.
Oh yeah. My. And I think, you know, what I try to think back on is like, if I had to have married who I was with between the ages of like 14 to 18, mm-hmm. dear Lord, help me.
Right. God forbid something actually happened where you like have to stay with that person.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, but I still want... And you know, there's a lot of things.
I feel kind of bad. I did have a couple really great boyfriends. I shouldn't say that.
So if you're listening, Sarah still loves you.
I do. I did have some really great ones.
I think even there's other things other than sex that you can do with a partner.
Right.
And so when you're sexually empowered,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like you know about things. You can, I don't know. I really feel like that's more of the way to go. To have an equal offensive and defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could just see Lily like chopping dicks off like everywhere she goes.
Like, back it up.
Uh-huh. But I don't want her to like miss out on like good stuff too. I did, because I was so afraid of men because they were nothing but predators.
Yeah.
If we're honest, that's what they are.
That's what they are. And you know, I'm wondering if that's why, like, my mom was so... What I'm trying to say. My mom was so intent on abstinence for me. Like,
oh, my parents were too.
You know, it was just, that was like the only choice.
That was it.
And I honestly, like I said, I think in high school, really, I
mean, it makes sense just because there's so many variables mm-hmm. and you can't be there to like help your kid right. with that. So
I think though that the way it was gone about, and like I say in my book, like 1,000 times, I'm not blaming my parents. I don't blame my mom. We all as parents are just doing the best as we can.
Absolutely.
None of us know what we're doing. We have no clue. We're just flying by the seat of our pants.
And we're just trying to evolve
ourselves
as parents.
But I'm thinking now, my mom grew up as a teenager in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if, because the 50s was like, a time where that shit happened all the time.
I was going to say that's rape central right there.
Yeah. I mean, that shit happened all the time between married couples.
Yep.
But it wasn't rape then. That shit happened on dates all the time.
Yeah.
Like.
So she was just protecting
you. She's probably just like, holy shit, like you're not going
anywhere. And you know, and the thing is that after I watch that movie and after I have lived college, I'm the same way. I'm like, Lily, you are not going to college. You know, and so it's just that protective nature of a mom.
Yeah, it is. God, our eyes just keep getting opened further and further. I feel
so many new and different things and thoughts, even just from this conversation we've had since we started recording. And it's making me consider even how I plan to parent Lily. Because I think, like, again, I think there's more than just being on the defensive.
Yeah. There needs to be more than being on the defensive.
Yes.
So I think these conversations need to happen more and between moms and dads and other moms with other moms.
Yeah.
So that we can talk through these things like this, because we just don't know.
Making it a taboo subject is the worst thing we can do.
It's the worst.
Because this shit's going to happen no matter what.
Right. And that's why I finally felt resolved to be able to tell this story, because it's like, guys, this isn't taboo. This is actually the norm.
I know. Your story is probably the norm.
Yeah.
With this discussion that we've had today and Sarah sharing her story, I guess our hope is just to bring light. And this is what we do. Think about it. This is what we do with all subjects. We just bring it out there because these are the things hidden in the dark corners that seem like scary monsters.
Right.
And they're not, because we can have complete, you know, empowerment over them if we talk about them. And you're not alone. You heard Sarah's story. I could tell you multiple stories similar, but not to that extent, that I know you all had as well. So you're not alone in that. And if you feel like you need to share your story or would like to share your story, or you're ready to, you know, we're always here to listen, even if it's off air.
Even if you just want to send us a Gmail just
because
to get it off your chest.
Getting it out of your mouth into the universe takes something off of you.
It does. It feels like I felt like an elephant had, you know, come off my chest. I just felt like I could breathe again.
Yeah.
And then although I did, you know, break down into sobs, and I kind of went into a depressive spiral for about a month. And I couldn't, you know, talk to anybody or do anything. And I was a mess. But it was the first step. So I want you to know.
You were mourning. I mean, of course you felt that way. I just think that when it's inside of you, it has power that it doesn't have when it's out.
You're right. You're so right.
And so I'm so grateful that you shared your story with everyone.
I feel better.
Because I want people to know, like, you're not alone. And if nothing happened to you, that's amazing. But talk to your friends, listen to your friends, you know, your daughters, your mom, all of these things, because you're bound to know someone who, you know, and just making this be everyday conversation is taking its power away.
Right.
And the more we talk and the more it becomes natural, the less it's going to be able to happen, because that shit happens in the dark.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, just bringing light to it and letting you all know you're not alone is really, you know, our goal with all subjects, specifically this.
Right. Yeah. We got you, booze.
So thank you for sticking around for a really challenging topic. In fact, there's going to be quite a few coming up, because we have May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and Suicide Awareness Month, which is going to be a big one for me to talk about. And, but you know, it's important. We'll keep you up with some murder and ghosts, we promise. And we
got to do palate cleansers, you know.
We have to palate cleanse. And we just need you to know that this is just as important for men to listen to. This is not a woman's podcast.
Right.
I know we're talking about women's issues right now, but
rape is a man's and woman's issue.
It's a human issue.
It is a human issue.
So I know you know, you would never want that for your daughter.
No.
So listen, share with, you know, men and women alike. We hope that, you know, you all can at least start a conversation with someone around you.
Yeah. Just do it.
Thanks so much, guys. Don't forget, I'm going to totally shamelessly do this right
do
now.
It, do
I'm
it.
Doing it. Okay, here we go. So this is so bad because we just have to I don't care. Because this is going to help us get more of these episodes. Stories out. Please go and vote for us for Best of the Berg podcast. And link will be in the show notes and in our link tree on our Instagram page. You can vote once a day. We would appreciate it so much because it would really help us get our name out there and more people to hear these things and not feel alone.
Yep. We'd love to hang out with you some more. Go to patreon.com/unqualifiedtherapistsinc. We love you, warriors.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. This episode was brought to you by Sarah Simone and Amy Baumgartner. Theme song and other music provided by Epidemic Sound. Editing and production by Sarah Simone. To help us keep making episodes just like this, join our fan club at patreon.com/unqualifiedtherapists. Follow us on Instagram, where you will find our link tree to all things here at the UT. If you have a story or a topic you'd like us to discuss, email us at unqualifiedtherapists@gmail.com. And remember, warriors, to hold on. We're gonna make it. Because I am a warrior. Shut it out, take it with me, girl.